four beasts that's come up, and this is the second beast. And there's some description. Verse 5. And behold, another beast, the second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, thus all dead arise, devour much flesh. Let's come and bow our heads this morning. If you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we would ask this morning that you would help us to cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, and every thought that will exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth. We cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that the Holy Spirit will fill our minds and your word fill our hearts. Lord, you'll help us to think upon whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, to think upon these things. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, help us to love one another as you have loved us. And Father, we would ask for the hands that's raised in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou would meet that need. And thou would answer the prayer. Lord, we ask for those that couldn't be here this morning. Perhaps they're sick or afflicted. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll touch them and heal them. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless your sister Lynn. Bless your brother Edward as they're away. And Lord, we pray for any others, the children that our brother mentioned, that needs your touch. May the hand of God touch them in Jesus Christ's name. Bless all the sisters here this morning. Give them strength and give them grace. Bless all the brothers. Bless every boy, every girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Now, Lord, we ask for the unveiling of your word, that you'll speak to us, that you'll minister to us, that you'll show us these great things in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I take the Holy Ghost, the promised Holy Ghost, to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. This is a tremendous vision of Daniel's hand, and Daniel saw the vision during the reign of Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon. And this second beast in the vision, a bear, revealed the age which was to come next. It represented the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, which was to rise through the conquest of Babylon and the last till 331 BC. Now, when you go to Nebuchadnezzar's image in chapter 2, this is doing it again. This is the same thing again, it's showing it again. But as we get, I might not get that this morning, but there is a key in the fourth beast in here that's not seen before in any other visions. And the key is a little horn. Now, I'll just say that now, we'll get that later. I wondered at it myself, God has showed me, and I believe it's very clear. Not at the start, you run over it, but it's there. It's not mentioned in any other visions, this little horn. 10 toes are mentioned. 10's mentioned a lot, but this one is mentioned. And we're going to see it by the Lord's grace. Like a bear, the Medes and Persians were stupid, tactless, but strong. And when they waged war, they needed little strategy. They just pushed with the power of the sheer numbers in their armories, which ranged from 100,000 up to the million. The number they mobilized in their campaign against the Greeks amounted to 1 million, with 1/2 of the army as a regular battle force, another half as a supporting group. The Median Persian Empire was not stupid, and trampling them under their, but was cruel, and they conquered many countries, conquered everywhere, like a bear. Isn't a bear a strong animal? But he's less than a lion. The lion's king of the beast, somebody knows that. And your bear comes in there, he's strong, he's courageous, but he's a bit stupid as well. He is. And the word of God showed him this as the bear. The bear of the vision was raised up on a side. Now this showed that although the Medes and Persians were a colonization of two kingdoms, the empire leaned to one side, the side of Persia. For Persia, which was built later than Medes, came to the supremacy and eventually defeated the Medes. the silver breast arms beneath the golden head of Nebuchadnezzar's vision also shows you that. These Medes and the Persians, and how the one conquered the other, the Persians conquered the Medes in its dream. And this culmination of Medes and Persians, now the scriptures show us that the power of the Medes and the Persians, if you look at Daniel chapter 6 verse 8, or maybe brother put it up, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. So you see, they were in power, they were in authority, whatever they said went. And all these animals that you're seeing, that Daniel sees in these visions, is a symbolism of power. And this power is right down through history, right to this day. And this is what really it's all about. Now you could read many scriptures, verse 12. And this is just to show you the example of the power. And when they came near and speak before the king concerning the king's decree, hast thou not signed the decree that every man should ask any petition of any god? And so on. Then they answered the king, Cure king, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it can't be altered. So they had laws in place. It's not a bit like the EU today. The EU of laws in place. Now they are an antichrist system. There's no question about that. And actually, there's many Bible scholars, and you'll see through this study, many Bible students and scholars believe that them 10 federate kings are the EU. That's what they believe. Now, there's part truth in that, but not all. There's more to it than that. Because you could get your eyes just on them and miss the key. Amen. Praise God, but there is truth in it. Look at the symbolism of the Medes and Persians, like a ferocious bird. And you know a bird is ferocious. Isaiah 13, verse 17, 18. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver or as for gold. They shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. They're like a bird. And you know that bird, when a bird come out of its hibernation, it'd kill anybody. A bird's dangerous. I saw a program years ago where a film, and it was about this woman and this man, and they lived out where the bears, and there's nothing like the bears, but they went missing. And they went missing because the bears they loved turned on them and ate them. And these Medes and Persians, this system's ferocious, and it devoured everything before it like a bear. And I tell you, the Bible talks about a bear and a whelps, doesn't it? She's ferocious. And you ever watch any nature programs or watch things like that, and you'll see a man on there that knows what he's talking about. He'll tell you, if you're ever out somewhere and you see a bear with a cub, you better watch yourself. Right. That bear's dangerous when its young ones with it, because it's protecting the young ones. And you know that one of the prophets in the Bible, that they come out and they call them old bald head. Elisha. Was it Elisha? And the bear come out and eat them all. Watch what you say about me. Praise God. I'm just joking. Now, so we see now, listen, the vision of the bear had three ribs between his teeth. These three ribs signified the strong nations conquered by the Medes and Persians. Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. They had formed a triple alliance, and though these three nations formed a triple alliance, they were divided. They conquered them. And these three ribs, this is what it represents, these three nations were conquered by the bear, if you like. And the voice which said, devour much flesh, represented the divine grant given to the Medes Empire to have dominion over many neighboring countries. And you think of this now, I want you to get this key. This is the key in all of the Bible. This is the key. It is God that grants the power to do these things. Devour much flesh was granted to them. This bear represents a power, but it's God that gives this power to do this. Just like today when we see things happening. Why does this happen? Why does that? God grants it. I formed the darkness and the light. Come on. It is God's behind it. And the devil is only a tool in the hand of God to bring about God's plan. a plan.
Amen.
We don't know God's whole plan, but God has a plan.
Amen.
But he's letting us into some of it. He's letting us know some of it. Now the voice which said the varmint's flesh represented the divine grant given to the Medes, the Persians, to have dominion over the neighboring countries. According to that divine grant, the Medes and Persians conquered many small nations in the Near East, expanding their territory, or greater than the territory Babylon had once possessed, so they went even further than Babylon. This lasted for more than 2 centuries, but the empire finally fell, and the third beast appeared. So I want you to see, and you're studying this, and looking at this, you say, what's this got to do with it? This is a lot. Let me pause for a moment. I want you to see that all these powers are for a season. All this dominion is for a season. The EU will be for a season. The powers that's in this earth today will be for a season. For there's another kingdom going to be set up on this earth. And these here, one conquers the other and they last for a time. Then another comes. And then another comes. It's for a season. Just like your 4 seasons. The winter won't last. We will eventually have a spring and a summer.
Amen.
Now look at this third beast in verse 6 of Daniel 7. After this, behold, and lo, another like a leopard. What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word leopard? Speed. How many knows a leopard's fast? Now you get your Bible, or you get one, whatever you want, and you look up the many times the Bible mentions leopard, it's a lot. The swiftness of the leopard. So it's speed, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl, and the beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. So it had 4 wings. This leopard was fast, and it could fly, and had a lot of knowledge. 4 heads. Daniel described the third beast differing from either of the 2 to preceding it. This third beast is commonly identified as the Empire of Greece. So you're coming right down again on Nebuchadnezzar's image. The only thing about this beast is that dominion was given it. The leopard is less grand than the majestic of the lion, but it is swifter and much feared. An animal of prey in the Old Testament times is feared. The leopard's speed made it the standard of the comparison. And you have to, you know, there's even cars called after the names. You know that. And every standard's put to the speed of the leopard. The leopard's fast. Does anyone know what speed a leopard can do? None of these young ones. I don't.
Elijah. You're thinking with a cheetah, Tom. I think a cheetah can only 75, but a leopard probably.
There's a one behind his answer. 58 mile an hour. 58 kilometers. 45, would that be about right? I reckon 45, I think I looked. So 58. See, I knew one of these young fellows would have the answer, because they go to school. Amen. Good man, Elijah. Praise God, but I'm telling you, it's fast. You might think that's not that fast. Do you think you could race it? You're saying boat couldn't race it. Now he was fast, but he wasn't that fast. But you see, it's fast, and it's in the Bible here for a reason, the swiftness of it. The leopard characteristically would lie in wait for the prey. In Jeremiah 5 verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces. So a leopard is slinking. Now you think of an ordinary cat. The cat doesn't just run out and catch a bird. The cat positions itself, lies in wait for a bird. Then when it knows it can do it, it goes for it. The leopard does that, but then it has a speed as well to go with it. And this next army was going to be swift. It was going to swiftly conquer everything in front of it quickly. Quicker than any of these other beasts did. That's what it's telling us here. Hosea 13 verse 7, therefore will I be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way, I will observe them. So the leopard will watch them and observe them, then strike. The leopard would pounce upon the victim with great speed and agility. Notice also the four wings on the back of the leopard. The wings correspond to the number of the leopard's heads, which was four. Which obviously refer to the intelligence and the direction. So this beast had more intelligence than a beast with one head. There was four heads here, so there was plenty of intelligence. Now, the heads indicate, in contrast to the earlier beast that had only one head, the third beast would have four governmental divisions which correspond heads. What would be faster than a flying leopard? Nothing. Except the eagle. Now he's faster. Now I heard a smart aleck, and he's on YouTube somewhere. We still have 5 minutes with him. And this smart aleck tried to contradict what Bob preached on the eagles. And he got on there somewhere and he said, we know, like he said an eagle lasted 120 years. We know that's rubbish. And he blasted everything that Bob had said. How many know Bob preached the eagles? And you know, for Bob told about the speed of the eagle and the wingspan of the eagle. This smart aleck, well, he knew better than all that. But I have one question for him. How long did he spend with him? He doesn't know his Bible. And I can tell you, God can have an eagle at whatever age he wants. I believe he could have won at 400 years of age if he wanted one. Some smart aleck, that's the exact same thing somebody said, a man could never live till 600. Well, there's a man who lived over 900 years. Because the Bible says it. Just like William Branham said about the fellow that said, you know, about the wheel, this smart scientist teaching children. He says, like, you're trying to threaten our intelligence to say that that wheel swallowed a man, but I've shown you a ball can't even fit down a spoon. And William Branham said it was more than I could stand as a preacher. And he says, I went over and told him, there's one thing you failed to read in the scripture, that was a special prepared fish. And if Brother Bob tells me there's an eagle, it's 120. Amen. I believe it. And I do believe you go through a moment period. And I've searched it and even can prove to do it. So you see, you get some smart aleck on YouTube. Oh, have they got the Holy Ghost? The first question you need to ask. And a man sent me a clip of a certain brother, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but this certain brother now is correcting the message God sent. He's fixing it all up. I met him in 1994, the same man. And I told all the people I was with, I got in trouble for doing it. I said, you see that man? He hasn't got the Holy Ghost. And I still hold to that opinion today, in 2020. He still hasn't got the Holy Ghost. And that's a problem when you get people leading God's people that were never sent and don't have the Holy Spirit, you're getting trouble. Right. Jesus didn't tell them to go down to a school. He said, go up the upper room, you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. How long will we wait for? Tarry until you get it. Right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I don't want to get sidetracked. See, this creature referred to, you see, now let me go back for a moment. In contrast to the earlier beast that had only one head, the third beast would have four governmental divisions corresponding heads. What could be faster than a flying leopard? Now the creature here refers to the great Alexander the Great. And you know the great Alexander the Great conquered just about everywhere, and he conquered it so fast. When he was still a young man, he sat down on the riverside and wept. Because there's nowhere else to conquer. He's still in his 30s. That's how fast he done it. And the Bible sees him. And Daniel knew him ever before he came. Now if we can identify a scripture to be Alexander, we can definitely identify another scripture to be the Pope of Rome. Greek general who conquered the Medes and Persians, gained control of much of the world. He was the greatest conqueror the world has ever seen, occupying a vast territory in a short time. Alexander rose from the Macedonia to the Europe and conquered large portions of Asia, Africa, sweeping like a storm all the way to the borders of India. There's your leopard with a spade. Legend has it that Alexander wept sitting on the bank of the Indus River because there was no more land to conquer. But soon after he died of a fever in Babylon at the age of 33. The four heads of the leopard referred to the four generals of Alexander the Great, and they were great men. This is the collective leadership system. Generals played a central role. And after Alexander's death, they divided the entire Greek kingdom among themselves. Now, let me get you these names. Thrace and Bithynia went to the first general, Lysimachus. Macedonian Greece to the second, Cassandra. Syria and Babylon to the third, Seleucus. Egypt and Palestine and Arabia to the fourth, Ptolemy. Now, I might not be pronouncing these names right, but these are the four names of these great generals. And Daniel sees in a beast form all these things, and God shows him it way before it happened. Now, don't get lost here this morning. This comes right up till our day and our time. Praise God. In the way Alexander's empire was divided into four kingdoms, they constantly warred against each other. Then the fourth beast comes up. Look at Daniel 7, verse 7 and 8, the fourth beast. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and had great teeth, iron teeth. And it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, them 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, this is the bit. The 10's mentioned many times before, but the little one, this is the first time in the book of Daniel you see the little horn. And this little horn comes up. Now, watch this. Wherefore, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the root. So this little horn conquers three right away. That's how strong he is. And behold, in the horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So his eyes like a man, but his mouth speaks great things. And you're going to see that he speaks against God. And I tell you, you know there's a spirit in the world today that speaks against God. Right. You meet people and they're God blamers.
Right, yes.
Why did God do this? Why did God do that? Why did God didn't do it? Let's get it right. All the things that is has come about because of man's disobedience at the start. Sin. And sin brought the sickness, and sin brought the death, and sin brought the separation from God. Man disobeyed God. God could have done another thing. As we heard the other week, he could have spoke and children could have came forth. But the Bible says, in sorrow shalt you bring forth. Why? Because of sin. Disobeyed God's word. Now the fourth beast was like no other beast that had ever been seen on the earth. It was hideous to behold and had what no natural beast has, teeth of iron and nails as brass. In verse 19 of Daniel 7, then I would know the truth of the four beasts, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. This fellow's going to take over everywhere. I'm telling you. The fact that the fourth beast had iron teeth and 10 horns would cause Daniel to see that the iron teeth corresponded to the iron legs of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. So God's already showed this, and you can't separate them. They're all linked.
And God showed him this great image coming down with the iron legs
of the image and the 10 horns and the 10 toes of the image.
And all these 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms, and they all come together and they all unite together, and that's where the EU comes in. They brought about a world unity. But don't stop there. There's another horn. And he hit some of these world unity boys quickly. And he's fiercer and more divine and speaks great things.
Now, I can't go totally into this all in the Antichrist this morning. I just can't do it. The time would not permit. But I'm going to come back on him. God permits me.
And we're going to see some things. And I tell you how anyone cannot see today who the Antichrist is. That shows me their eyes are blinded. If you're free and open to the Holy Spirit and read this Bible, Spurgeon said, give the book of Revelations to any good solicitor and he will without doubt prove Rome is the beast and the Antichrist the Pope.
Spurgeon said that. And you heard what I read several months back, it's quite a time back, from, we'll call it the wee brown book, and then nobody will fall out with me.
You fellas know what's in it. But I read you of the history of all the churches, what they used to believe. Not now. They've changed it. But their own standards from a year, day gone by, they all knew who he was. The Baptist, the Presbyterian, all of them.
All of them knew it. They've now changed. Why did it change? Because they've been brainwashed. We need bloodwashed, not brainwashed.
Amen.
Now look at these 10 toes of the fourth beast. Represent the Roman Empire. Now you know that you had the old Roman Empire. But then it became Rome itself now.
There's a way of saying it, I can't remember this morning. Pagan Rome, Papa Rome, Papal Rome.
You see, and you know where it talks about he was wounded and lived, and he was and he was, and he is not and he is. Succession.
Now, I can't go into all that this morning, but what mystified Daniel was the little horn. Now, let's go with this for a moment. That sprang up amid the 10 horns. For he had not seen a little toe spring up. When he saw 10 toes, he didn't see another little toe. But here in chapter 7, he sees the 10 horns, but then there's a little horn springs up. Now God draws his attention on every detail. Every detail of this Bible is important. Never forget that. And this little horn is important, so that you know who he is. Sprang up the 10 horns, but you've not seen the little one. Praise God. 10 toes the image. Daniel at once saw the light, the little horn with eyes of a man, and its mouth speaking great things, meant some new additional revelation that God did not show in Nebuchadnezzar's first image. God has given Daniel a further instruction, a deeper revelation here, showing him right to the end time. That this fellow's coming at the end. Now remember someone here when you're looking at this book of Daniel. Daniel has been praying, seeking God for the time of the end. For the end of the Gentiles and his own people, the Jews. He's been seeking God. And God is showing Daniel right down to the end time. So these prophecies are bringing us right to modern time.
Many believe, as I mentioned a little bit before, many Bible students believe that the unification of the 10 kingdoms of Europe, Rome's former territory, that the unification is underway. Daniel saw all these things in his vision 2600 years ago. God was showing something to Daniel then that is actually happening today in our lifetime. We are living in the fulfillment of prophecy. Europe has come together and the European economic community is ripe and it's alive today. And it sets the rules. And people talk about the great roads, and yeah, I've said it.
Boys, you want it, our roads are useless here, you want to go down inside. Oh, but what about the cost? Do you know how much the roads cost down the south? You drive down through the south and drive back up, let me know how much it costs you.
That's right.
Take 50 quid with you anyway, because you're going to need it all. I'm telling you. And there's even toll bridges that you don't stop at. You have to go on the computer and pay them. It's all pay, pay, pay. Now what's that got to do with it, brother? You remember at the end time there's a system coming in where there's a mark given and nobody can buy or sell it save they have the number or the mark of the beast. You can't trade without it. Now I know the EU's not ultimately it, but it's definitely a daughter of it. Let's say that. And it's an antichrist system. Now look at Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 to 12. I beheld till the throne were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. That reminds me of Ezekiel, the wheel in the midst of the wheel. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And behold, then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn speak. So God is showing us this is right down to the judgment time and the voice of the great words that the horn speak. So this horn's the eyes of a man, but it speaks. Now let me say, listen, I'll give you it straight away. People that talk about the two prophets and all that there, let's sort it out. There's one. There's an actual man in the earth, but the devil himself possesses him. So there's two, but there's one. How many knows what I'm saying here?
Amen.
It's like you've been possessed with the Holy Spirit, but you're one man, but the Holy Spirit fills you. The Antichrist will be possessed by the devil himself. He'll sit in the temple of God, supposing himself to be God. And Satan's going to possess that man. Now he's already in control of him. But he's going to kick him clean over. I'm telling you. And I'll tell you, he hasn't started yet. Don't kid yourself. He hasn't even started yet. And he already said, you don't need to convert nobody. And he's already said, don't come to Jesus, come to me. Do you know what I think? Them big words, they are.
Yes.
They're words of blasphemy.
Right.
They are words of blasphemy. You can go to nobody, only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One. Praise God. Now, I'm going to have to stop. Because it's 20 past, and I'm not finished. And I don't want to keep this too long after me. Telling you about watching the clock. And then you'll say he never watched it himself. How many's enjoying it?
Yeah.
Look, we'll come back again at 3:30, the Lord will, and we're going to get into it more. Now maybe I'll take this Ancient of Days a wee bit tonight, and maybe I'll show you as well, if I can this evening, I found something as well for people I've made a mistake with. Many people. And what I'm saying is they take a phrase that Clarence Larkin made, and William Branham uses it as well. And the phrase is true, it's not wrong. But they take, for he changes his priestly work, and it goes into the judgment, and they take that, which is true, and they preach the doctrine mercy's over, but it's not over. Because the Lamb is still the Lamb, and the Lamb's still the Lamb. But people have did that, and they've stumbled many people with that doctrine. But it is true that there's a change of dispensation. That's true. No question about that. And there's a judgment coming in this earth. You look, come this evening, you'll see it. There's a judgment coming on the earth, and the bride goes. The bride of Christ goes, and the judgment comes in this earth. Also, I'll show you tonight two scriptures for states, specifically 3.5 years, and they're not in Daniel. Somebody said to me, you can't get 3.5 years only in Daniel. Well, that's wrong. I can get it in lots of places. It's not in Daniel. And I'm going to give you another thing. Don't count the 3.5 years with our calendar. And don't work this Bible with our calendar. It will not work. It has to be the days and the months like there was before the flood, which were 30 days. And you fellas know that study before the flood and all them things was 30 days. How many knows that? There's none of this leap years and small years and 31, 20. That's all rubbish. That's an infiltration, that calendar. But 30 days is a real thing. God doesn't change his mind. You come along this evening and we'll continue. Let's stand our feet. Maybe it's been mixed up a bit. I hope you can follow it. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. Father, I pray that you'll unfold your word before us, you'll show us your truths from your word, that you'll help us to reverently come and seek your face. Look to you, Lord, for ultimately your kingdom's coming in this earth. And Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And the beast thrown into the lake of fire, cast in for 1,000 years of torture. What a glorious time, Lord, lies ahead of your people. The catching away is soon at hand. We're going to take a people home, a bride, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to live and reign with Christ. And Lord, they were going to come back with you and start them out of all of us and live and reign in this earth for 1,000 years and every man under his own vine tree. That's your word, Lord, and your word can't be broken. Father, I pray you'll help us with your word. Help us consider these things. Help us to know these things. Grant us the eye salve of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, also give us the wisdom of these times of the meetings and all that we would hope to do and desire to do. We ask for your wisdom and your guidance. And that your will be done. And your name will be lifted and glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As a brother Gary comes, God bless you.
Not him, and how keep his letters were.